Tonight's Zoomcast on using the strength of Christ to stand against evil, using Moroni, Amron, and Ammon's people as a case study. And as we go through the scriptures tonight, please keep in mind what lessons the Lord is trying to teach us about what he expects from us as we go forward into times of great unrest. You know, what is it that the Lord's deliverance means, and what does the Lord expect from us to stand against evil and to sufficiently take upon us light that we might stand against the evil, which is not only here, but will be coming against us in increasing power and intensity. So to start off tonight, 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 20. And when the Jews heard these things, they were angry with him, yea, even as with the prophets of old, whom they had cast out and stoned and slain. And they also sought his life, that they might take it away. But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom he hath chosen, because of their faith to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. Now, inherent in this verse, make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. Now, there is no hint here that the Lord will do for us what he can empower us to do ourselves. And, you know, a lot of times as we look forward to what is happening and what is going to be happening, sometimes we think that the Lord is going to fight our battles for us to the extent that all that he will require of us is to believe that he will fight our battles and that nothing more will be required of us. And as we go through these scriptures tonight, you know, hopefully, you know, this iniquity, this false tradition is dispelled so that we can gain a more accurate understanding of what it means to qualify for the Lord's deliverance and what that type of deliverance looks like and what is required on our part, you know, for that deliverance to take place. So Alma 53, verse 9. And thus, because of iniquity amongst themselves, yea, because of dissensions and intrigue among themselves, they were placed in the most dangerous circumstances, talking about the Nephites. And, you know, again, just as the Nephites had placed themselves into precarious circumstances, you know, I would submit that we, because of intrigues and iniquity and dissensions among our people, that we have likewise placed ourselves in dangerous circumstances and will yet place ourselves in even more dangerous circumstances. And now behold, I have somewhat to say concerning the people of Ammon, who in the beginning were Lamanites. But by Ammon and his brethren, or rather by the power and word of God, they had been converted unto the Lord, and they had been brought down into the land of Zarahemla, and had ever since been protected by the Nephites. And because of their oath, they had been kept from taking up arms against their brethren. For they had taken an oath that they never would shed blood more, and according to their oath, they would have perished. Now, oftentimes we take this oath out of context, and the context that we falsely put this oath into is that this is the oath that righteous people with faith in God, they take upon themselves this oath. But we have to remember that this is the oath that was required of them to atone for the many murders which they had committed. And that atonement, before Christ was able to completely, cleanse them, they had to be willing to die for their many murders rather than take up the sword against any who might come against them. And this is a very special circumstance. Yea, they would have suffered themselves to have fallen into the hands of their brethren, had it not been for the pity and the exceeding love which Ammon and his brethren had for them. So even in the middle of the covenant, which was required to be entered into by them, that they would suffer death rather than take up the sword against their enemy, their very survival depended on the Nephites doing the very thing that they were forbidden to do, which was to take up the sword against the enemy. So their freedom and their very life, the price as it is for everyone, was blood. And they were not exempt from this price, but their brethren, the Nephites, were willing to pay this price for them. And for this cause, they were brought down into the land of Zarahemla, and they ever had been protected by the Nephites. But it came to pass that when they saw the danger and the many afflictions and the tribulations which the Nephites bore for them, they were moved with compassion and were desirous to take up arms in the defense of their country. So even in the middle of the oath which they had taken, seeing their brethren, the Nephites, fight and die for them was almost more than they could take. And they even considered trading their own souls that the Nephites might not have to suffer and to die for them. So, again, we see that the price of their life and their freedom was, in fact, blood. Verse 14. But behold, as they were about to take up their weapons of war, they were overpowered by the persuasions of Helaman and his brethren, for they were about to break the oath which they had made. And Helaman feared lest by so doing they should lose their souls. Therefore, all those who had entered into the covenant were compelled to behold their brethren wade through their afflictions in their dangerous circumstances at this time. But behold, it came to pass that they had many sons who had not entered into a covenant, that they would not take their weapons of war to defend themselves against their enemies. Therefore, they did assemble themselves together at this time, as many as were able to take up arms, and they called themselves Nephites. And I would submit, as it was with the Nephites, and as it was with the people of Ammon, so will it be for us. And that the power of deliverance that God promises his people does not mean that he will fight in their place, but that he will make them equal and mighty unto the power of deliverance, which is very different than God fighting the battle in their place. Verse 17, and they entered into a covenant to fight for the liberty of the Nephites. These are the sons of the people of Ammon. Yea, to protect the land unto the laying down of their lives. Yea, even they covenanted that they never would give up their liberty, but they would fight in all cases to protect the Nephites and themselves from bondage. So one of the things that is worth the price of laying down one's life and the taking of life is in the defense of life and liberty. Now behold, there were 2,000 of those young men who entered into this covenant and took their weapons of war to defend their country. And now behold, as they never had hitherto been a disadvantage to the Nephites, they became now, at this period of time, a great support. For they took their weapons of war, and they would that Helaman would be their leader. And they were all young men, and they were exceedingly valiant for courage, and also for strength and activity. Now, having these qualities of exceeding valiance and courage and strength and activity did not come through living a life of idleness. Certainly, the Lord knew what was in store, and the Spirit moved upon them even as they were growing up, that they might become men who were exceedingly valiant and courageous and strong and activity. But behold, this was not all. They were men who were true at all times in whatsoever thing they were entrusted. So not only were they physically and mentally tough and prepared, but they also had integrity of character. Yea, they were men of truth and soberness, for they had been taught to keep the commandments of God and to walk uprightly before him. Now it came to pass that Helaman did march at the head of his 2,000 stripling soldiers to the support of the people in the borders of the land on the south by the West Sea. And thus ended the 28th year of the reign of the judges over the people of Nephi. So in answer to the question, that logically arises when we read 1 Nephi verse 20 of what it means to be chosen of the Lord because of faith, to be made mighty even unto the power of deliverance. In answer to that question, I would submit that verses 20 and 21 are an answer to that question. And they were exceedingly valiant for courage and also for strength and activity. But behold, this was not all. They were men who were true at all times in whatsoever thing they were entrusted. Yea, they were men of truth and soberness, for they had been taught to keep the commandments of God and to walk uprightly before him. And the clear implication was that not only were they taught to keep the commandments of God and to walk uprightly before him, but in fact, they did keep the commandments of God and did walk uprightly before him. Now, chapter 54, verse 4. Therefore, Moroni wrote an epistle and sent it by the servant of Amaron. Remember, Amaron is the brother of Amalickiah, who was killed by Teancum. And Amalickiah used murder, theft, and intrigue to gain power. The textbook definition of a secret combination, which we are rife with today. And certainly we have seen today the use of murder, theft, and intrigue to gain power and to seek to exercise unrighteous control, you know, over this people. Behold, Amram, I have written unto you somewhat concerning this war which ye have waged against my people, or rather which thy brother hath waged against them, and which ye are still determined to carry on after his death, meaning Amalickiah. Behold, I would tell you somewhat concerning the justice of God and the sword of his almighty wrath, which doth hang over you, except ye repent and withdraw your armies into your own lands, or the land of your possessions, which is the land of Nephi. Yea, I would tell you these things if ye were capable of hearkening unto them. Yea, I would tell you that concerning that awful hell that awaits to receive such murderers as you and thy brother have been, except ye repent and withdraw your murderous purposes and return with your armies to your own lands. But as ye have once rejected these things and have fought against the people of the Lord, remember that Amaron, even though he is the head of the Lamanite armies, at one time he had been a Nephite who had dissented and had had access to the fullness of the doctrine of Christ. But as ye have once rejected these things and have fought against the people of the Lord, even so I may expect you will do it again. And now behold, we are prepared to receive you. And except you withdraw your purposes, behold, you will pull down the wrath of that God whom ye have rejected upon you, even to your utter destruction. But as the Lord liveth, our army shall come upon you except ye withdraw. And ye shall soon be visited with death, for we will retain our cities and our lands. Yea, we will maintain our religion and the cause of our God. So, here again we have additional items added to the list for which it is not only permissible by God, but expected by God that we would lay down our lives for and that we would be willing to spill blood for. And that is for, our God and our religion. But behold, it supposeth me that I talk to you concerning these things in vain. Or it supposeth me that thou art a child of hell. Therefore, I will close my epistle by telling you that I will not exchange prisoners, save it be on conditions that ye will deliver up a man and his wife and his children for one prisoner. If this be the case that ye will do it, I will exchange. And behold, if you do not this, I will come against you with my armies. Yea, even I will arm my women and my children, and I will come against you, and I will follow you even into your own land, whence is the land of our first inheritance. Yea, and it shall be blood for blood. Yea, life for life, and I will give you battle even until you are destroyed from off the face of the earth. Behold, I am in my anger, and also my people. And I would submit to you that there is, in fact, righteous indignation, and that this is an example of righteous indignation, as was Christ when he not only overturned the tables of the money changers, but also beat them. Behold, I am in my anger, and also my people. Ye have sought to murder us, and we have only sought to defend ourselves. But behold, if ye seek to destroy us more, we will seek to destroy you. And we will seek our land and the land of our first inheritance. Now it came to pass that Amaron, when he had received this epistle, was angry, and he wrote another epistle unto Moroni. And these are the words which he wrote, saying, I am Amaron, the king of the Lamanites. I am the brother of Amalickiah, whom ye have murdered. Behold, I will avenge his blood upon you. Yea, I will come upon you with my armies, for I fear not your threatenings. For behold, your fathers did wrong their brethren, even insomuch that they did rob them of their right to the government when it rightly belonged to them. And now behold, if ye will lay down your arms and subject yourselves to be governed by those to whom the government doth rightly belong, then will I cause that my people shall lay down their weapons and shall be at war no more. And we see this as a reoccurring theme of the continued hatred of the Lamanites against the Nephites, this false tradition that their first fathers had been wronged, that even though Nephi did not subject his brothers and their families to his rule by the sword, yet they expected that the Nephites should do exactly that, that Nephi's brothers should have been able to subject the Nephites to bondage by the sword, and that the Nephites should have willingly subjected themselves. And, you know, this, you know, false tradition is able to maintain, you know, hatred of the Nephites for hundreds of years. But behold, it supposes me that I talk to you concerning these things in vain. Or it supposeth me that thou art a child of hell. Therefore, I will close my epistle by telling you that I will not exchange prisoners, save it be on conditions that you will deliver up a man and his wife and his children for one prisoner, if this be the case, that ye will do it, I will exchange. And behold, if you do not this, I will come against you with my armies. Yea, even I will arm my women and my children and come against you. And now it came to pass that Amram, when he had received this epistle, was angry. And he wrote another epistle unto Moroni, and these are the words which he wrote, saying, I am Amram, the king of the Lamanites. I am the brother of Amalickiah, whom ye have murdered. And notice again how Amram has twisted the truth of the historical event. It was Amalickiah, his brother, who waged war unprovoked against the Nephites. In fact, it was his brother who used murder, theft, and intrigue to gain power over the Lamanites, even to become their king and to gain command of their armies, that he might wage battle against the Nephites. And in self-defense, the Nephites killed Amalickiah. And Amram, the king of the Lamanites, I am the brother of Amalickiah, whom ye have murdered. Again, not accepting any responsibility for the offensive war that his brother had waged against the Nephites. Behold, I will avenge his blood upon you, and I will come upon you with my armies, for I fear not your threatenings. For behold, your fathers did wrong the brethren, insomuch that they did rob them of their rights to the government when it rightly belonged unto them. Or in other words, our forefathers would not submit themselves to the yoke of bondage and slavery. And because they would not submit themselves to the yoke of bondage and slavery to the Lamanites, you know, an entire people have been wronged, those who sought to do the oppression. And now behold, if you will lay down your arms and subject yourselves to be governed by those to whom the government doth rightly belong, then will I cause that my people shall lay down their weapons and shall be at war no more. So he incites, you know, the very oppression that he asserts that their forefathers should have received. If you will submit to us and to become our slaves, we will stop our war against you. Behold, ye have breathed out many threatenings against me and my people. But behold, we fear not your threatenings. Nevertheless, I will grant to exchange prisoners according to your request, gladly, that I may preserve my food for my men of war, and will wage a war which shall be eternal, either to the subjecting of the Nephites to our authority or to their external extinction. And as concerning that God whom ye say we have rejected, behold, we know no such being, neither do ye. But if it so be that there is such a being, we know not, but that he hath made us as well as you. And if it so be that there is a devil and a hell, behold, will he not send you there to dwell with my brother whom ye have murdered, whom ye have hinted that he hath gone to such a place? But behold, these things matter not. I am Amram and the descendant of Zoram, whom your fathers possessed, oppressed, and brought out of Jerusalem. And behold, now I am a bold Lamanite. Behold, this war hath been waged to avenge their wrongs and to maintain and to obtain their rights to the government. And I close my epistle to Moroni. Alma 55. Verse 1. Now it came to pass that when Moroni had received this epistle, he was more angry because he knew that Amram had a perfect knowledge of his fraud. He knew that Amram knew that it was not a just cause that had caused him to wage a war against the people of Nephi. And he said, behold, I will not exchange prisoners with Amram, save he will withdraw his purpose, as I have stated in my epistle. For I will not grant unto him that he shall have any more power than what he hath got. Behold, I know the place where the Lamanites do guard my people, whom they have taken prisoner. And as Amram would not grant unto me mine epistle, behold, I will give unto him according to my words. Yea, I will seek death among them until they shall sue for peace. And verse 16. And now this was according to the design of Moroni. And Moroni had prepared his men with weapons of war. And he went to the city of Gid while the Lamanites were in a deep sleep and drunken, and cast in weapons of war to the prisoners, insomuch that they were all armed, yea, even to their women and all of their children, as many as were able to use a weapon of war. When Moroni had armed all those prisoners, and all those things were done in a profound silence. And I would submit that this is an example of God making a people mighty even unto the power of deliverance. He did not do for them which they could do for themselves, but he provided to them the opportunity that they might be able to escape the bondage which had been hoisted upon them. When Moroni had armed all those prisoners, and all those things were done in a profound silence. But had they awakened the Lamanites, behold, they were drunken, and the Nephites could have slain them. But behold, this was not the desire of Moroni. He did not delight in murder or in bloodshed. And that was because even though he was a military man, he was not a man of war. Even though he engaged in warfare, he sued at every turn for peace, not for bloodshed. Even though bloodshed was the price of liberty and freedom and the maintaining of their religion and their families. But he delighted in the saving of his people from destruction. And for this cause, he might not bring upon him injustice, he would not fall upon the Lamanites and destroy them in their drunkenness. But he had obtained his desires, for he had armed those prisoners of the Nephites who were within the wall of the city, and had given them power to gain possession of those parts which were within the walls. And then he caused the men who were within to withdraw apace from them, and surrounded the armies of the Lamanites. And now behold, this was done in the nighttime, so that when the Lamanites awoke in the morning, they beheld that they were surrounded by the Nephites without, and that their prisoners were armed within. And thus they saw that the Nephites had power over them, And in these circumstances, they found that it was not expedient that they should fight with the Nephites. Therefore, their chief captains demanded their weapons of war, and they brought them forth and cast them at the feet of the Nephites, pleading for mercy. And now behold, this was the desire of Moroni. He took them prisoners of war, and he took possession of the city, and he caused that all the prisoners should be liberated, who were Nephites, and they did join the army of Moroni and were a great strength to his army. And it came to pass that he did cause the Lamanites whom he had taken prisoner, that they should commence a labor in strengthening the fortifications round about the city of Gid. So, you know, here again, we see an example of the Lord making a people mighty even unto the power of deliverance. He is not doing for them what they could do for themselves, but he is making them equal to the task which lays before them. And so he makes them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. Verse 28. And it came to pass that the Nephites began again to be victorious and to reclaim their rights and their privileges. And many times did the Lamanites attempt to encircle them about by night. But in these attempts, they did lose many prisoners. And many times did they attempt to administer of their wine to the Nephites, that they might destroy them with poison or with drunkenness. But behold, the Nephites were not slow to remember the Lord their God in their time of affliction. They could not be taken in their snares. And here again, we see an example of God making his people mighty even unto the power of deliverance. They were able to apprehend the snares of their enemies and not step into them. They could not be taken in their snares, and they would not partake of their wine, save they had first given to some of the Lamanite prisoners. And they were thus cautious that no poison should be administered among them. For if their wine would poison a Lamanite, it would also poison a Nephite. And thus did try all their liquors. Now verse 1 in Alma 56, rather verse 2. And these are the words which he, Moroni, received from his brethren, Helaman. My dearly beloved brother Moroni, as well in the Lord as in the tribulations of our warfare, behold, my beloved brother, I have somewhat to tell you concerning our warfare in this part of the land. Behold, 2,000 of the sons of those whom Ammon brought down out of the land of Nephi. Now ye have known that these were descendants of Laman, who was the eldest son of our father Lehi. And verse 5, therefore it sufficeth me that I tell you that these 2,000 of these young men have taken their weapons of war, and would that I should be their leader, and we have come forth to defend our country. Now, remember who Helaman is. Helaman is the son of Alma the Younger, who went forth with his father to preach the doctrine of Christ to a hardened people. And like his father, if we go back to Alma 17, verse 2. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. For they were men of a sound understanding, and this is the background from which Helaman comes. He became a man of sound understanding, waxing strong in the knowledge of truth. From searching the scriptures diligently, that he might know the word of God. In verse 3, but this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority of God. No wonder the 2,000 stripling warriors came to Helaman and would that he should be their leader. And they had been teaching the word of God for the space of 14 years among the Lamanites, having had much success in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth. Yea, by the power of their words were many brought before the altar of God to call on his name and confess their sins before him. Now these are the circumstances which attended them in their journeys, for they had many afflictions. They did suffer much, both in body and in mind, such as hunger and thirst and fatigue, and also much labor in the spirit. And although this is specifically being written about Alma, Helaman's father, you know, we have the record that Alma took his own sons into the same missionary work, and they would have done the exact same things. Therefore, verse 5 in Alma 56, it sufficeth me to say that 2,000 of these young men have taken their weapons of war, and would that I should be their leader. And we have come forth to defend our country. And now ye also know concerning the covenant which their fathers made, that they would not take up their weapons of war against their brethren to shed blood. But in the 26th year, when they saw our afflictions and our tribulations for them, they were about to break the covenant which they had made and take up their weapons of war in our defense. It was almost more than the anti-Nephi-Lehis or people of Ammon could bear to see their dear brethren lay down their lives to protect their freedom and their lives. But I would not suffer them that they should break the covenant which they had made, supposing that God would strengthen us or make us mighty even unto the power of deliverance, insomuch that we should not suffer more because of the fulfilling of the oath which they had taken. But behold, here is one thing in which we may have great joy. For behold, in the 26th year, I, Helaman, did march at the head of these 2,000 young men to the city of Judea to assist Antipas, whom ye had appointed a leader over the people of that part of the land. And I did join my 2,000 sons, for they are worthy to be called my sons. And I did join to the army of Antipas, in which strength Antipas did rejoice exceedingly. For behold, his army had been reduced by the Lamanites, because their forces had slain a vast number of our men, for which cause we have to mourn. Nevertheless, we may console ourselves at this point, that they have died in the cause of their country and their God, and they are happy. Again, we have reasons over which it is not only permissible, but expected by God to both lay down our life and to take life to protect country and God. And the Lamanites had also retained many prisoners, all of whom are chief captains, for none other have they spared alive. And we suppose that they are now at this time in the land of Nephi. It is so if they are not slain. And verse 15. And these are the cities which they possessed when I arrived at the city Judea. And I found Antipas with his men toiling with their might to fortify the city. Yea, and they were depressed in body as well in spirit, for they had fought valiantly by day and toiled by night to maintain their cities, and thus they had suffered great afflictions of every kind. And now they were determined to conquer in this place or die. Therefore, you may well suppose that this little force, which I brought with me, yea, those sons of mine gave them great hope and much joy. Now it came to pass that when the Lamanites saw that Antipas had received a greater strength to his army, they were compelled by the orders of Amron to not come against the city of Judea or against us to battle. And thus were we favored of the Lord. For had they come upon us in this our weakness, they might have perhaps destroyed our little army, but thus were we preserved. Again, we see another example of what it means to be made mighty even unto the power of deliverance. And starting in verse 30. Now, when we saw that the Lamanites began to grow uneasy on this wise, we were desirous to bring a stratagem into effect upon them. Therefore, Antipas ordered that I should march forth with my little sons to a neighboring city, as if we were carrying provisions to a neighboring city. And we were to march near the city of Antipara, and if we were going to the city beyond, in the borders by the seashore. And it came to pass that we did march forth as if it were with our provisions to go to that city. And it came to pass that Antipas did march forth with a part of his army, leaving the remainder to maintain the city. But he did not march forth until I had gone forth with my little army and came near the city Antipara. And now in the city Antipara were stationed the strongest army of the Lamanites, yea, the most numerous. And it came to pass that when they had been informed by their spies, they came forth with their army and marched against us. And it came to pass that we did flee before them northward. And thus we did lead away the most powerful army of the Lamanites, yea, even to a considerable distance, insomuch that when they saw the army of Antipas pursuing them with their might, they did not turn to the right nor to the left, but pursued their march in a straight course after us. And as we suppose it was with their intent to slay us before Antipas should overtake them, and this that they might not be surrounded by our people. Now, also notice that in the Lord making his people mighty even unto the power of deliverance, there are many, many instances where that being made mighty unto the power of deliverance did not involve direct force against force, although it did often involve that, but also it often involved stratagem. And, you know, this stratagem was developed with the Spirit of the Lord directing them what they should do. And so it will be with us. There will be times when the Lord will make his people mighty even unto the power of deliverance with force-on-force victory. But there will also be many times when the Lord will make his people mighty even unto the power of deliverance through using like stratagem to outsmart and outwit the enemy. And now Antipas, beholding our danger, did speed the march of his army. But behold, it was night, therefore they did not overtake us. Neither did Antipas overtake them. Therefore we did camp for the night. And it came to pass that before the dawn of the morning, behold, the Lamanites were pursuing us. Now we were not sufficiently strong to contend with them. Yea, I would not suffer that my little sons should fall into their hands. Therefore we did continue our march, and we took our march into the wilderness. Now they durst not turn to the right nor to the left, lest they should be surrounded. Neither would I turn to the right nor to the left, lest they should overtake me. And we could not stand against them, but be slain. And they would make their escape. And thus we did flee all that day into the wilderness, even until it was dark. And it came to pass that again, when the light of the morning came, when we saw the Lamanites upon us, we did flee before them. But it came to pass that they did not pursue us far before they halted. And it was in the morning of the third day of the seventh month. And now whether they were overtaken by Antipas, we know not. But I said unto my men, behold, we know not, but they have halted for the purpose that we should come against them, that they might catch us in their snare. Therefore, what say ye, my sons? Will ye go against them to battle? And now I send to you my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not amongst all the Nephites, for as I had ever called them my sons, for they were all of them very young. Even so they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer that we should fall. Then let us go forth. We would not slay our brethren if they would let us alone. Therefore, let us go, lest they should overpower the army of Antipas. Now, they never had fought, yet they did not fear death. And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt, our mothers knew it. And it came to pass that I did return with my 2,000 against these Lamanites, who pursued us, and now behold, the armies of Antipas had overtaken them, and a terrible battle had commenced. And the army of Antipas, being weary because of their long march in a short space of time, were about to fall into the hands of the Lamanites. And had I not returned with my 2,000, they would have obtained their purpose. For Antipas had fallen by the sword, and many of their leaders, because of their weariness, which was occasioned by the speed of their march. Therefore, the men of Antipas, being confused because of the fall of their leaders, began to give way before the Lamanites. And it came to pass that the Lamanites took courage and began to pursue them. And thus were the Lamanites pursuing them with great vigor when Helaman came upon their rear with his 2,000 and began to slay them exceedingly, insomuch the whole army of the Lamanites halted and turned upon Helaman. And now when the people of Antipas saw that the Lamanites had turned them about, they gathered together their men and came again upon the rear of the Lamanites. And now it came to pass that we, the people of Nephi, the people of Antipas, and I with my 2,000 did surround the Lamanites and did slay them. Yea, insomuch that they were compelled to deliver up their weapons of war and also themselves as prisoners of war. And now it came to pass that when they had surrendered themselves up unto us, behold, I numbered those young men who had fought with me, fearing lest there were many of them slain. But behold, to my great joy, there had not been one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, they had fought as if it were the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength. With such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites that they did frighten them. For this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. And yet another example of God making his people mighty even unto the power of deliverance, in this case, in a force upon force situation. But behold, to my great joy, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth, and they had fought as if it were with the strength of God. Yea, and never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength, and with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites, that they did frighten them. For this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war. And as we had no place for our prisoners, that we could guard them, to keep them from the armies of the Lamanites, therefore we sent them to the land of Zarahemla, and a part of those men who were not slain of Antipas with them, and the remainder I took and joined them to my stripling Ammonites and took our march back to the city of Judea. Alma 57, verse 9. And it came to pass that we did camp round about the city for the night, for many nights, but we did sleep upon our swords and keep guards, that the Lamanites could not come upon us by night and slay us, which they attempted many times, but as many times as they attempted this, their blood was spilt. And again, I would call your attention Sometimes that we think this power of deliverance should be served up to us on a silver platter, and that God would supplant our own requirement to do all in our power with his aid and with his help to be victors over the forces of darkness. And that is not the way it works. God does not serve up and do for us what he will make us equal to the task for. And they did not take it for granted that God was going to deliver them. They did all in their power, even that they did sleep upon their swords, that they were in a constant state of readiness. And as they did all that was in their power, they trusted that God would make it sufficient. Verse 13. And it came to pass that our prisoners were so numerous that notwithstanding the enormity of our numbers, we were obliged to employ all our forces to keep them or to put them to death. For behold, they would break out in great numbers and would fight with stones and with clubs or whatsoever thing they could get into their hands, insomuch that we did slay upwards of 2,000 of them after they had surrendered themselves prisoners of war. Again, we see the pragmatism that is required as a people figure out how they overcome the forces of darkness and maintain freedom. And that it does not mean that it will not be difficult, that there will not be many losses, but ultimately it does mean that if a people remain faithful to God and to Jesus Christ, that ultimately they will win the war. Therefore, it became expedient for us that we should put an end to their lives or guard them sword in hand down to the land of Zarahemla. And also our provisions were not any more than sufficient for our own people, notwithstanding that which we had taken from the Lamanites. And now in those critical circumstances, it became a very serious matter to determine concerning these prisoners of war. Nevertheless, we did resolve to send them down to the land of Zarahemla. Therefore, we selected a part of our men. And, you know, the choice they had was they could either slay them or, you know, send them down. But sending them down certainly did present a far greater risk than, you know, taking their lives. Therefore, we selected a part of our men and gave them charge over our prisoners to go down to the land of Zarahemla. And it came to pass that on the morrow they did return. And now behold, we did not inquire of them concerning the prisoners. For behold, the Lamanites were upon us. And they returned in a season to save us from falling into their hands. For behold, Amron had sent their support a new supply of provisions and also a numerous army of men. And it came to pass that those men whom he sent with the prisoners did arrive in a season to check them, and they were about to overpower us. But behold, my little band of 2,060 fought most desperately. And they were firm before the Lamanites and did administer death unto all those who opposed them. And as the remainder of our army were about to give way before the Lamanites, behold, those 2,060 were firm and undaunted. Yea, they did obey and observe to perform every word of command with exactness. Yea, and even according to their faith, it was done unto them. And I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them. And now behold, it was these my sons and those men whom had been selected to convey the prisoners to whom we owe this great victory. For it was they who did beat the Lamanites, therefore they were driven back to the city of Manti. And we retained our city Cumani and were not all destroyed by the sword. Nevertheless, we had suffered great losses. And it came to pass that after the Lamanites had fled, I immediately gave orders that my men who had been wounded should be taken. from among the dead and caused that their wounds should be dressed. And it came to pass that there were 200 out of my 2,060 who had fainted because of the loss of blood. Nevertheless, according to the goodness of God, and to the great astonishment and also the joy of our whole army, there was not one soul of them that did perish. Yea, neither was there one soul among them who had not received many wounds. And now their preservation was astonishing to the whole army. Yea, that they should be spared while there was 1,000 of our brethren who were slain. And we do justly ascribe it to the miraculous power of God, because of their exceeding faith in that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God, and whosoever did not doubt that they should be preserved by a marvelous power, by his marvelous power. Now this was the faith of these of whom I have spoken. They are young, and their minds are firm, and they do put their trust in God continually. And now it came to pass that after we had thus taken care of our wounded men, and had buried our dead, and also the dead of the Lamanites, who were many, behold, we did inquire of Gid concerning the prisoners whom they had started to go down to the land of Zarahemla with. And Gid gives the accounts of how the prisoners escaped. But in their escape, it allowed these men to return and to save the Nephites from perishing at the hands of the Lamanites. Verse 35, and behold, we are again delivered out of the hands of our enemies, and blessed is the name of our God. For behold, it is he that has delivered us, yea, that has done this great thing for us. And may I submit that in the middle of warfare, this is a perfect example of what it means to offer up a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And behold, we are again delivered out of the hands of our enemies. And blessed is the name of our God. For behold, it is he that has delivered us. Yea, that has done this great thing for us. For a broken heart and a contrite spirit gives all honor and all praise and all glory and all credit to God, whereas Luciferianism would take all honor and all glory and all valor to oneself. Verse 36. Now it came to pass that when I, Helaman, had heard these words of Gid, I was filled with exceeding joy because of the goodness of God in preserving us, that we might not all perish. Yea, and I trust that the souls of them who have been slain have entered into the rest of their God. And thus we have the attitude that is also displayed by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we will trust in the deliverance of our Lord and our God. But if not, we know in whom we have trusted, and our souls will go to him. So God making his people mighty even unto the power of deliverance does not mean that there will be none who are killed. But what it does mean is that God ultimately will save his people. And physical death is far from the worst thing that we can experience. But in general, it does mean that God does preserve his people both spiritually and physically, even though there are some who fall, who die and are willing to have their blood shed for that which is good. Alma 58, verse 6. And the Lamanites were sallying forth against us from time to time, resolving by stratagem to destroy us. Nevertheless, we could not come to battle with them because of their retreats and their strongholds. And it came to pass that we did wait in these difficult circumstances for the space of many months, even until we were about to perish for the want of food. And again, the dire straits that God does allow his people to enter into, to test them, to say if they, to see if they will be true and faithful to him, despite their physical circumstances, despite the hardships that may come upon them. And, you know, I hearken back to Christ in Gethsemane, that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And I would submit that if Christ needed agony to pray more earnestly, that we desperately need agony. And it came to pass that we did receive food, which was guarded to us by an army of 2,000 men to our assistance. And this is all the assistance which we did receive: to defend ourselves and our country from falling into the hands of our enemies, yea, to contend with an army which is innumerable. And now the cause of these are embarrassments, or the cause of why we did not send more strength, why they did not send more strength unto us, we know not. Therefore, we were grieved and also filled with fear, lest by any means the judgments of God should come upon our land to our overthrow and utter destruction. And, you know, here we see perhaps the illustration of, you know, a fallacy that sometimes we believe, that, you know, the people of God are appraised of all the situations and all of the reasons, when the case is that just enough is revealed to them for them to continue to go forward in hope and in faith. Therefore, we did pour out our souls in prayer to God, that he would strengthen us and deliver us out of the hands of our enemies, yea, and also give us strength, that we might retain our cities and our lands and our possessions for the support of our people. Yea, and it came to pass that the Lord our God did visit us with assurances that he would deliver us, yea, insomuch that he did speak peace to our souls, and did grant unto us faith, and did cause us that we should hope for our deliverance in him. And we did take courage with our small force, which we had received, and were fixed with the determination to conquer our enemies, and to maintain our lands and our possessions and our wives and our children and the cause of our liberty. Again, we have the list of that which is not only permissible, but expected by God to protect with our blood and the blood of those who would destroy it. To maintain our lands, our possessions, our wives, our children, and our cause of liberty. And thus we did go forth with all our might against the Lamanites, who were in the city of Manti. And we did pitch our tents by the wilderness side, which was near to the city. And verse 15. And it came to pass when they saw that we were not strong, according to our numbers, and fearing that we should cut them off from their support, except they should come out to battle against us and kill us, and also supposing that they could easily destroy us with their numerous hosts. Therefore, they began to make preparations to come out against us to battle. And verse 18. And it came to pass that the Lamanites did come out with their numerous army against us. And when they had come and were about to fall upon us with the sword, I caused that my men, those who were with me, should retreat into the wilderness. And it came to pass that the Lamanites did follow after us with great speed, for they were exceedingly desirous to overtake us, that they might slay us. Therefore they did follow us into the wilderness, and did pass by in the midst of Gid and Teomner, insomuch that they were not discovered by the Lamanites. And it came to pass that when the Lamanites had passed by, or when the army had passed by, Gid and Teomner did rise up from their secret places, and did cut off the spies of the Lamanites, that they should not return to the city. And it came to pass that when they had cut them off, they ran to the city and fell upon the guards who were left to guard the city, insomuch that they did destroy them and to take possession of the city. Now this was done because of the Lamanites did suffer their whole army, save a few guards only, to be led away into the wilderness. And thus we see, you know, again an example of the Lord making his people mighty, even unto the power of deliverance through stratagem. And verse 25. And behold, it was by night, and they did pitch their tents. For the chief captains of the Lamanites had supposed that the Nephites were weary because of their march. And supposing that they had driven their whole army, therefore they took no thought concerning the city of Manti. And now it came to pass that when it was night, I caused that my men should not sleep, but that they should march forward by another way toward the land of Manti. And because of this our march in the nighttime, behold, on the morrow we were beyond the Lamanites, insomuch that we did arrive before them at the city of Manti. And thus it came to pass that by this stratagem we did take possession of the city of Manti without the shedding of blood. And verse 32. But behold, our armies are small to maintain so great a number of cities and so great possessions. But behold, we trust in our God, who has given us victory over those lands, insomuch that we have obtained those cities and those lands which were our own. And now we do not know the cause that the government does not grant us more strength. Neither do those men who came up unto us know why we have not received greater strength. But we do not know, but what yet ye are unsuccessful, and ye have drawn away the forces into that quarter of the land. If so, we do not desire to murmur. And if it be not so, behold, we fear that there is some faction in the government, that they do not send more men to our assistance. For we know that they are more numerous than that which they have sent. And they have no idea that as grave and as serious a threat as they face from the external, their brethren in their own land face an equal and opposite threat of those who are dissenters and traitors to freedom and liberty and God. But behold, it mattereth not. We trust God will deliver us, notwithstanding the weakness of our armies, yea, and will deliver us out of the hands of our enemies. And again, usually, as we go forth in the work of our mighty God, whether it be to declare the gospel or to defend that which is worth shedding and having our blood shed for, usually we are not given to have a perfect knowledge, but we're given just enough, and it is part of the test to go forth in hope, believing and trusting in God that preservation will take place, that deliverance will take place, even if we can't see exactly how that is to be accomplished, and even if it looks like we are in the face of overwhelming odds. Verse 39, and these sons of the people of Ammon, of whom I have so highly spoken, are with me in the city of Manti. And the Lord has supported them, yea, and kept them from falling by the sword, insomuch that even one soul has not been slain. But behold, they have received many wounds. Nevertheless, they stand fast in that liberty wherewith God has made them free. And they are strict to remember the Lord their God from day to day. Yea, they do observe to keep his statutes and his judgments and his commandments continually. And their faith is strong in the prophecies concerning that which is to come. And now, my beloved brother Moroni, may the Lord our God, who has redeemed us and made us free, keep you continually in his presence. Yea, and may he favor this people, even that he may have success in obtaining the possession of all that which the Lamanites have taken from us, which was for our support. Now behold, I close mine epistle, I am Helaman, the son of Alma. And, you know, this ends the doctrinal reading and commentary portion.